the next few weeks, recreational pilots will be climbing into the cockpit, some of them for the first time since last summer. There's a natural lull in flying activity during the colder months, and no one needs reminding, COVID restrictions have held many on the ground. Whatever your reason for not having flown for a while, before you again take to the skies, consider a dual training flight with an instructor. I'm Pen Mackay, and this is Vector Online. In this podcast, called Currency and Competency, we're talking to a couple of chief flying instructors, a BCAT, and a long-time recreational pilot about why it's a good idea to go up with an instructor if you're flying for the first time after even a relatively short break.
To be legally current, we have to have done 3 takeoffs and landings within a 90-day period.
One of the CAA's most experienced pilots and a former CFI, Carlton Campbell, has been looking at spring's reported occurrences and is thinking about the reason at least some of them may have happened.
There is an impression there that sometimes one would think if the pilot was more current or had done some more revision and got more competent, the occurrence might not have occurred. Some of these misjudging the wind and running off the runways, the occurrences where we actually haven't managed to control the aircraft, or we've put ourselves into circumstances beyond our currency and competence at the time, and things have gone wrong.
Carlton encourages pilots emerging from winter hibernation or lockdown restrictions to think about how confident they really feel in the cockpit.
As pilots, we need to continually reflect on our performance. Sometimes we can feel a little off our game. Either we're not current or not as competent as we'd like to be, or both. That's when we should call our instructor to get some drill, to sharpen up, potentially staving off any embarrassment or an occurrence or an expensive insurance claim. You shouldn't be shy of asking for a revision flight.
Carlton is speaking there of currency and competency. Minimum legal currency, of course, is 3 takeoffs and landings within a 90-day period. But that's not all there is to currency and competency.
If I'm not flying several times a month, then I don't feel current when I go out there, and that affects my competency. My competency is my ability to operate to the standard of my license and my experience. Better still, it should be above the entry standard for the license. So competency is about exercising your skills to the standard that both your experience and your qualifications dictate, shall we say. So the combination of the two is important, but individually they're important as well.
Kapiti District's Aero Club BCAT, Ben Gesterkamp, says it's not necessarily manual handling skills that deteriorate during a break.
I think a lot of people are thinking about currency as, oh, I've forgotten how to fly the plane, which actually probably isn't quite the case. You'll probably find just the basic motor skills of flying the plane is not overly difficult, but it might be the higher intricacies will be the first things to go, and one of those definitely is situational awareness, and I think any radio communication that might go on.
Can you give me an example of
maybe with a procedure, like maybe just doing circuits? It might be a detail like an exact place where they would start slowing down or where they would put the flaps down or something like that, and it's just the sharpness of the detail of where everything occurs. That might be, I would say that would be the first thing that would go.
Mike Elston, a long-time member of the Kapiti District's Aero Club and currently flying a Cabri helicopter, says he's aware of losing sharpness after even a relatively short break.
It's a good idea to come back and grab an instructor and just go and do the basics. Because I think, alluding to what Ben said, you do lose some sharpness, and having somebody competent there with you to maybe pick up on the things that you might have missed helps you get fully competent again more quickly. I think that's the point. You could do it by yourself, but potentially got to put a lot of flying in to get yourself back to the the appropriate standard. And having an independent person there, I think, allows you to do it more quickly and more competently. I mean, that can happen even when you're flying regularly. You can drift off, you know, best practice simply because you're not being reviewed. You're acting as your own reviewer, and I guess that's why we have BFRs. But I mean, 2 years between BFRs is a long time, and I think it doesn't hurt to get some review anyway, you know, in the intervening time, even if you're flying regularly.
Aaron Pearce, the CFI of South Canterbury Aero Club, says instructors shouldn't necessarily wait to have a pilot approach them about a dual flight.
Whether it's a private owner or a club aircraft, we need to be thinking about, do I have a clear conscience in sending that pilot out with that aircraft, or am I going to feel the urge to have to watch their landings? If you think that it might be interesting watching their landings, then we probably need to be doing a dual check first. In an aero club environment like this, the instructors are the caretakers of those aircraft. You are the caretaker of 120, 200 people that collectively own that aircraft, and you're about to hand the keys over to one member. If you don't think they're up to the task, you're handing over the keys to someone else's aeroplane. So yeah, there's absolutely a duty of care to that person and to that aircraft, but also the other airspace users as well. So the instructors do have a part to play.
Speaking to his fellow instructors, Aaron says a dual flight doesn't need to be a boring box tick made up of the minimum three circuits.
You're challenging them or making it fun. Practice a glide or practice a flatless or a precision approach. So while you're out there with them, give them the first one for free to get their eye in, and then challenge them. Go, let's see the next one as a flatless, or when's the last time you did a glide? So that currency flight can also be an upskill opportunity as well. Maybe take the aeroplane to a strip, or in the low flying scenario, go out and pretend off the coast to look for an upturned dinghy that you're part of a search and rescue mission. Like, it's make it interesting and people don't have a problem with jaw.
And Aaron says aero clubs can also do their bit for aviation safety to encourage pilots to seek some dual.
The reluctance on dual is always the cost involved with flying dual. So recently, when we came out of the last COVID lockdown, we did 30 days of free currency flights for our members. So all they paid for was the aircraft, and we gave them the instructor for free for currency purposes. That way we were removing a barrier to them. It was also increasing our organisation's safety as well.
At Carpety, Ben Gesterkamp says it's the pilots who don't worry too much about currency and competency beyond the legal minimum who worry him and his fellow instructors.
There are some people that make a big effort to remain current, and there are some people who I think don't put as much emphasis on that, and I think the people who don't put as much emphasis on remaining current or as much effort in, those are the people that I think you'll find they're a little bit more prone to errors or occurrences, definitely. They're the people we definitely worry about more as instructors.
Mike Elston says even flying with a trained and competent mate is better than nothing.
I've got a flying buddy, and the one not flying has often got mental horsepower left over to pick up on the things that they know you're doing wrong, and likewise with the other person. I think review by anybody who's trained is worthwhile.
You've been listening to the Vector Online podcast, Currency and Competency. I'm Pen Mackay. Thanks for listening.